All right, that was quick. KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Mid-Missouri source for in-depth news, diverse talk, and music of the world. It is more than radio. It is your community radio. KOPN, 89.5 FM, and streaming live on the web at kopn.org. It is just a minute or so before 9 o'clock on Friday, the 1st of June. First Friday, as it were. And welcome to the program. You are listening to Open Mic Radio. And this is a one-hour program every Friday morning where we talk to local, regional musicians, artists, and just people kind of in and around this part of the country. Today, my guest is Bartholomew Bean. He will be with me here in the studio in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, let me take care of a little business here. Tune in Monday afternoons from 3 to 5 p.m. for the Real Deal Country Show with host Woody Adkins. If you love classic and traditional country music, the kind you rarely hear on commercial country radio stations, you'll love the Real Deal Country Show. It's right here on KOPN 89.5 FM, Mondays 3 to 5 p.m. Fantastic program. Woody's a great guy and a great radio host and plays some fantastic music. So if you like that kind of stuff, definitely check out Woody's show on Monday. And what else? Speaking of things coming up, we have KOPN's Pledge Drive. Our summer Pledge Drive will begin this Monday as well. And that's June the 4th through June the 10th. So in the next week or so, week and a half, reach into your heart and your pocketbook and support local community radio, KOPN 89.5 FM. And you can donate securely on the web as well. You can do that anytime. You don't have to wait for a pledge drive, although we do have one coming up in just a few days. But you can always donate to KOPN whenever you choose and whenever it feels good to you. All right. Okay, I'm going to play a piece of music here by Mr. Bartholomew Bean, and then he's going to come in here and get settled down. But we're running a couple minutes late, so let's find a song here. This one is called, I think it's called Reuben Play Your Banjo. This is Bartholomew Bean on KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM.
Playing on my daddy's banjo. So when I picked it up and I made a sound, I found I couldn't let the darn thing go. Well, it just felt so good, I just knew I could keep on playing, let that music flow. I would just hit them strings to let them ring when I was playing on that old banjo. Well, Reuben, you can play your banjo all night long. We've been waiting all your life just to hear you sing your songs. Well, Reuben, you can play your banjo all night long. We'll be sitting around the fire just in case we can play along. Screen. not found for whether happy or down. I just play to let my feelings go. Was like a very best friend that'd stay right till the end to help you when things got slow. Felt hard to put it down. I'd want to make a new sound and take it to a friend to show. To play it loud and clear so she would surely hear my playing on that old banjo. Well, Reuben, you can play your banjo all night long. We've been waiting all your life just to hear you play your songs. Well, Reuben, you can play your banjo all night long. We'll be sitting around the fire just in case we can play, just in case we can sing, just in case we can play along.
All right, that was Bartholomew Bean, and you're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM. Speaking of the man, I got him right here in the radio station studio like I had many years before. It's a deja vu. Bean, how you doing, man?
Okay.
Let's see, where are you at? You are on this mic. Sorry about that. Say hello, Bart.
Hello.
A little bit closer to your microphone, if you don't mind.
All right, should I bring it out?
You can bring it out, and I can turn it up, too, so.
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah, that's not too bad. Okay. For people who are unfamiliar, Bartholomew Bean is a local, regional musician, artist. I consider you like a troubadour. That's the way I always kind of describe you, because he travels around the country and plays music and tells stories and, generally speaking, brings some light along with him along the way. So it's great to have you back here in the studio, Bart.
Hey, it's nice to be here.
What's been going on these days?
Well, just trying to prep for summer, and sometimes I get to put in a garden, and I think I'm going to try that again, even though it's getting kind of late in the season, but I usually plant late gardens.
Yeah, you're quite a farmer. I remember, are you still making wine?
I do make wine on occasions, yeah. I enjoy doing that.
Well, I haven't had any of your wine in a couple years. I remember back, 5-6 years ago, you were making a wine that was sort of had a little bit of note around the region. It was unique in the sense that you were making it out of tomatoes, if I remember correctly, but it was also had a little bite to it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a tomato-based wine, but it was seasoned with the habanero pepper.
Habanero, that's what it was.
So that kind of gave it a distinction that everybody remembered.
Well, yeah, there was a summer or a year or so where a lot of people were talking about that wine, actually.
It was, yeah, people were, I think they were enjoying being surprised by a little bit of a spice there. But I'm glad they were. I'm glad it was good. I mean, it seems like everybody appreciated it, so I appreciate that. That was good news.
All right. Well, it is Friday, the 1st of June. It's First Friday, and I really hadn't thought about it before we came on the air, but there's a lot of music and a lot of entertaining going on in the Columbia area tonight and around town. Are you familiar with First Friday? Have you ever been hanging around for that?
I have, yes.
Are you going to be out tonight?
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think so too. Hey, before we get going too, I want to say thanks to Ruth and Jeff, Ruth Acuff and Jeff Mueller, who were here last week, and we had a nice conversation and got to listen to some of their diverse catalog of music from over the years, some old stuff and then some new stuff too. But I know you've known Ruth and Jeff for a long time.
I have, yes.
Both fantastic musicians and cool
Indeed.
People. So, all right. So today, though, we got you in the studio. So I'm going to have you play a couple songs for us, and then I want to do sort of a proper interview, and I want to talk a little bit about your background and who you are and where you come from and how you kind of got the way you are. All right.
Sure.
But I'll let you start off with something. Anything you like, pick a song for us. And
yeah, and these are I have a couple recent songs that kind of have come into. Fruition, I guess you could say, but this first little song is called "It Was an Experience on Paris Road One Day a Year Ago," and it's called "The Girl in the Lime Green Pickup."
All right, great, everybody. This is Bartholomew Bean on KOPN Columbia.
but the morning sun was strong as it cast upon the roadway. The moment was truly set for something demoniac. At a distant glance, my attention shifted sideways to catch a lime green pickup and a woman with a flip in her hair. Oh, how elegant the windshield framed her face. How so regal was her poise as she drove her lime green pickup with the tips of her fingers and the twinkle of her toe. Sideways glance, a curious second when our lives did dance, merits the instant to take a chance. Oh, a blur of a short romance. And so my life in that moment has been touched by a happenstance, if one would consider it as such. When a lime green pickup and a beautiful face did cast a spell in a moment of grace. Oh, how elegant the windshield framed her face. How so regal was her poise as she drove her lime green pickup with the tips of her fingers and the twinkle of her toes.
I love my private Friday morning concerts. These are great. Bart, thank you very much. What's the name of that one? Lime Green Pickup.
Yeah, the woman in Lime Green Pickup.
Mm-hmm. And that's a relatively new song?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you've been writing songs for how long?
Oh, since the 60s.
Half a decade.
The Beatles, you hear about people opening your third eye, right?
Yeah.
The third eye. Well, the Beatles opened my third ear. They got me into the mood of, made me realize that I had an interest in music. So.
Well, it's...
As they did many people.
And to this day, I'm stunned by how the music of the Beatles manages time, 50 years later, and that stuff is still as solid as ever. My two boys are kind of grown up into the world, and they listen to the Beatles, and I think they like the songs as much as I did when I was a kid.
I think that was a true phenomenon.
I'm really certainly was something special.
I always wondered how, because that was during the Cold War, of course, and we were all strung out on fear of other people attacking, like the Russians. Mm-hmm, we seemingly still are for some reason. But I always wondered if their music, you know, got into the USSR and so on and so forth. We met a woman through a musical organization. You traveled to Russia in 76 and 78. Julia Dunsworth, I believe her name was. Mm-hmm. She said that she was asked to come and visit a janitor in the place she was staying when she first went over there in 76. And, of course, they couldn't really do it legally, but she got the address and went over to his family, and they had dinner together. And he saw she had her guitar case, so he invited her to come over and bring your guitar, you know.
Yeah.
So she went over and had dinner with his family, and then after dinner, they couldn't speak each other's language, but they sat around and played Beatles songs.
So it did make it over there.
Yeah.
And I think now these days, after this many years, if you're a music fan anywhere in the world and you're not familiar with the Beatles, I'm not sure where that might occur. But were you did you have music in your family? Were your parents musical at all? Or
yeah, my father, his family was rural farm, Missouri farm family, and everybody, I mean, it seems like people not having TVs back then played instruments, and he and his sisters actually sang at an alumni banquet one time, and there was a photograph of them all together singing for one of the gathering of the high school reunion
right.
things. And the other thing I recall was growing when I was young, he had played in a local group there, and they do songs like Mr. Sandman and things of the 50s, you know.
Right.
And I had an older relative, an older cousin, that said that she remembered when she went to high school. She would, probably the same time period, she would walk downtown and they would hear them rehearsing in the local garage down the, so they were like a garage band before, but it was like a commercial garage.
Right. What part of Missouri were you born?
I was in Northeast Missouri, and the little town I'm from is called Gorin.
Gorin?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And the home of Ella Ewing, who was Missouri's gentle giantess.
The tallest early woman in the history of the world or something like
that,
right?
I imagine there have been other equally as tall, but at that time period she was known, you know, and she was from that area. And also at the same time period, although people didn't really find out about her until much later, a woman named Sedona Miller married a fella from Memphis, and Mr. Schnibbley, and they moved out to Arizona to set up a trading post. And that became Sedona, Arizona.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So Sedona, Arizona was based or was named off of a woman who's from your part of the woods.
Right. She came from the same town.
I'll be darned. You ever been out there?
I have. Before I knew anything about that. I mean, I heard about it through friends who heard it from Paul Harvey. And that's just how it is when you're in a local area and there could be somebody who, like, you know, change the world, and he didn't, you know, and
right.
But nobody knows it there because it's local.
It's weird. There's a lot of stories like that, names that are unfamiliar to a lot of people, and it's like, wow, that person, woman, man, I mean, and so many that are unfamiliar to most people but really had a remarkable role somewhere in history, you know?
They did, yes, and I'm surprised. I mean, I think it's the same with every part of our country. But I do know that, you know, you come up with names from Missouri, and it's nice to be a Missourian.
Yeah, I might as well consider myself one after all these years. I've been here for almost 20 years now, and whether I was born here or not, I certainly consider myself part of this place now.
It's very closely related to being an earthling.
Well, you've got some songs about being an earthling. Why don't you pick another one for us here, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more.
Okay, this is another relatively fresh one, and I'd like to do. I did this on Jackie's show too. I did both these songs on Jackie's show.
Which one? Jackie does a lot of things.
Sunday morning.
Oh, cool. All right. Once again, Bartholomew Bean on Open Mic Radio, and Bart, thanks for coming down and playing some songs for us.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, here we go.
Well, the history of hemp is the history of the people, the humans who were slaves to the pharaohs, czars, and kings. Those who did the work, those whose toil and labor did raise up from the earth the livestock, food, and drink. But of all the work demanded, well, hemp, it was hardship. The toil required for cordage was tenfold that of food. Beside the hardened stem was a challenge for the strongest. To gather up the harvest, the clan would become the crew. All the bundles of cut stalks were carried by the children, were carried by the women, were carried by the men. The skin embraced by resins, and their lung breathed air with pollen, as they moved the bundled hemp to be laid out in the glen. And of all the work we demanded, well, hemp it was hardship. The toil required for fiber was tenfold that of food. Beside the hardened stems was a struggle for the strongest. Gather up harvest, the tribe became the clue. The sun would dry the hemp stalks, and then the rain and dew would wet them. Left out in the open, so the pulp would come unglued. So when the stalks were weathered and the pulp was proper retted, the moment came many bundles were gathered by the few. And of all the task demanded, well, hemp it was a hardship. The toil required for fiber was tenfold that of food. Beside the hardened stems was a struggle for the strongest. To gather up the harvest, the hamlet became the crew. And now the time has come when all workers draw together. The breaker boards were utilized to crush the weathered stems. Countless hands now thrashing like a group of people dancing, flailing the strands of hemp against an oaken fence. And of all the work demanded, well, hemp was a hardship. The toil required for cordage was tenfold that of food. Beside the hardened stems was a struggle for the strongest. To gather up the harvest, the village became the crew. Well, the seeds had all been gathered, and the pulp was saved paper. The lungs of all the workers were laced with dust of hemp. The seeds were pressed for oil, and their hulls were ground in flour. The strands of woven fiber became rope from labor spent. And the smallest stems were made into threads, then used for sailcloth, garments worn by most, everyone save the Pope. The seed buds were collected while green and used for healing. The leaves and buds were eaten raw, healing young and the aging old. From many thousands of years, humans worked in all the hemp fields. Sailcloth, cord, and rigging were demanded to claim the globe. But the people's lives were blessed by hemp's presence in their families. And today we find our bodies are woven within hemp's soul. So the history of hemp is the history of the humans. The people who do so long to know again its lovely song. A song that yearns to show us and to fill us with its wholeness. One of nature's true medicines that's been given to us all. A song that yearns to show us and to fill us with its wholeness. One of nature's true medicines has been given to us all.
Very nice. Thank you, sir. Bartholomew Bean in the house here in the studio, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. And I would like to thank, actually, KOPN thanks Donut Delight for including us in their celebration of National Donut Day today. Glazed cake and filled to order Long John's and Bismarck donuts are available today and every day at Donut Delight, located at 1301 Vandiver Drive in Columbia. And there are some donuts out there in the green room.
I noticed that.
Oh, man, I had one a little bit ago. It was yummy. Very nice. Thank you to Donut Delight for the donuts and for being a great sponsor here. Okay, Bean, tell me a little bit about that song. Obviously inspired by the ancient historical plant hemp.
Yeah, you know, years ago when Nixon tried to get research against hemp, they kept coming up with positives instead of negatives.
Right.
And he did that twice. I think third time they pushed it through, and then they got it, you know, criminally registered. Because, but at any rate, so I just thought, you know, okay, well, it sounds good, but, you know, it's just the whole atmosphere about marijuana and stuff was so weird, and so you know, it was like fearful, you know, and dangerous. It was made to be such a horrible thing.
Yeah, for decades there was a. What a campaign of misinformation that
exactly.
Went, I mean, for literally 70 years. When was the act, the marijuana criminalization act? I think
right.
It was in the early 30s or something.
Right. And that
Jack Herer.
When he wrote that book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, about the marijuana history, I thought that was a revealing thing.
Yeah, it's a brilliant book. Jack passed away a few years ago, but he was a real smart man, and I think that book still, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, is probably the go-to book if you really want to know about the history of hemp and cannabis in not just this country but around the world. And it's really real eye-opener for sure.
But the thing that really I was learning those things along the way, but what really opened my eyes was the information that human people have receptors for cannabinoid, right?
Yeah, it's part of our neural makeup.
Exactly. It's our neural makeup. And then it dawned on me one day, well, okay, that makes sense, because we had to do all the bloody work that was involved in harvesting that stuff and making, you know, rope and sailcloth and rigging so they could go out and have war. You know?
That's right. It was a big part of it, for sure.
It was the original military-industrial complex. And the people who did all the work were not machines, because they were just our families.
Weavers and farmers.
All the way back to our... All the humans were like intertwined with them because of that fact that we developed those... Because we were associated with the resins and all the other chemical makeup of the hemp plant itself, we evolved with it.
Even sort of phraseology that we use, like we use metaphors of weaving for like telling stories. We use cloth metaphors for a lot of things. I imagine people sitting around fires, you know, in the old days, and telling stories while they were weaving hemp. And I think that's probably you know, has something to do with the fact that that's what we still associate storytelling with. You know, he wove a great story, or, you know, things like that. There's some other, you know, examples like that, but I'm sure that it's in our nature, you know.
The aspects of, oh yeah, well, I guess what a point that I had thought of that I'm almost certain is probably the reality, because all the medicines that were made with him with during the 1800s, how it evolved as a medicine.
Yeah,
I mean, just through the exposure, being exposed to it as people who work with it all the time, I think people realize that they benefited from it, you know, physically.
Just the handling, et cetera.
Yeah, like just like all plants were valued for their different positives, and so that's why it was used in medicine as much as it was in 1800.
Well, it's an interesting story and a remarkable one that may be coming back around. You know, there's quite a bit of forward movement in the right direction. I think we'll have to see what Missouri does this year with regard to medical cannabis and recreational eventually, but
commercial too, right?
And commercial. I mean, certainly for a state like Missouri, I mean, a crop like hemp, I mean, that's a cash crop that'll grow anywhere, and it's real good for the soil. It's real good for a lot of things. You can grow it without pesticides. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to growing that, not to mention what you can do with it once it's grown. So, hopefully these laws are starting to change.
And I'd gotten a seed drill for, you drill wheat with in the field, you know, you put the seeds tight rows of seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the settings under the flap in the back of the seed drill where you put the grains and stuff, it had a designation for how to set up the seed drill for hemp.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Well, it was something that back in the day, if you had over a certain amount of land, you were actually required to grow hemp.
Right.
I mean, it was a legal requirement that the government enforced if you had, I forget what the acreage was, but really interesting that it went from something that was so necessary and accepted as just part of life to something that was completely demonized and taken off the table completely for so many years.
Indeed.
Well, okay, let's talk about you a little bit more. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I've always sort of had this image of you as a traveling troubadour type of guy, but you also have a pretty interesting skill set. You're a really talented carpenter. You can do electric. You're a mechanic. You can make anything run if it's not running, and if you can't fix it, I'd say throw it away. So let us know a little bit more about how you kind of got playing music on the road, but also doing the trades that you do.
I think doing the stuff comes from being a part of the Missouri farming culture.
Uh-huh.
And so I think people my family were low income and they got by fixing everything they had and repairing it and basically making do, you know, with by using their tools.
Yeah, and like I say, we've moved into sort of a throwaway culture in a lot of ways, but I think many people, myself included, you know, haven't been forced, you know, by circumstances to, you know, if something breaks, you can't just throw it away and go get a new one. You got to figure out a way to make that thing work. So,
I think I was challenged by that too. I think my aptitude for mechanical skills was high on testing. So I think I had a natural.
Yeah, for sure.
Like goes along with just being artistic, or, you know, being able. So it kind of went along with that, with the music and everything else. I think just it was kind of, there's an art form to everything.
That's true. Yeah, when you're really good at something, it's an art, and maybe even when you're not good at it. But we make twisted cord at the factory that I work at, and it sounds so simple, but it's there's an art to it, you know, when you really get down to it. So
yeah, you know, you're that line of manufacturing could be incorporated. I mean, we could get hemp involved with the brand.
Well, it was for many years.
Does that company have a history of doing rope for a long time?
Well, our company's been doing it since about 1945 or so, just after World War II, and the hemp was already off the table by then, and most of our products are made out of, and still back then, you know, cotton was sort of took over. But now they use polyester, rayon, even some sort of high-tech fibers like Kevlar, carbon fiber, fiberglass, and some exotic things that I won't go into. But, you know, like anything, it's there's more to it than you might think, you know. And it keeps the world running. Anywhere there's a belt or a hose, you know, and you have power transmission, you know, you're talking cord that goes into the guts of those things to keep them strong. So
sure.
What? How'd you become a carpenter? Because you've done some great carpentry work around Columbia, and in fact, at my own home, which I appreciate. How'd you learn how to work with wood?
I found it hard to take a regular job, but I realized that by doing that kind of work, you have more of your own time. You can do it on your own, you know, and use your own judgment without, and still make a decent day wage. So I started learning, just started fixing things for people and doing projects. And then I was in Chicago for a spell, working for a rehab contractor there, and learned a lot about the fundamentals and stuff.
It's also something you can do wherever you go, right?
Right.
Yeah, you kind of take it with you. Well, music-wise, you've traveled around and played music all over the place now. Give me some stories from the road.
In the 80s, by being up around Madison, I met some people who were forming a version of Songs for Freedom and Struggle that Pete Seeger did out on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a Midwest version called Midwest People's Music Network. And so I was able to go visit gatherings with other songwriter players during the 80s, and that would get me up in Chicago or up in Minneapolis and Kansas City and places like that, you know, we'd have a meeting at least once a summer and so on.
Mm-hmm. So it was relatively organized and...
Yeah, it was a positive thing for everybody. It got everybody in touch through a letter, for, you know, like a news letter and a networking letter. So that helped me get more involved with being in different places, and when I got involved with Chicago in the 90s, late 80s and early 90s, I started playing open stages, and that got me more involved with performing on a regular basis. And it was hard for me because I'm a pretty introverted person normally, but it was helping me realize that I could reach a point. I just wanted it to be second nature. So that's what I was shooting for.
I think that's how we met, wasn't it? I mean, it had to be something associated with one of those open mic nights at the Fugue or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, how did you get here to Columbia?
In 76, I had inherited, I played in a group called Deacon Jack up in Kirksville, and friends of mine, we all had gotten an old personnel carrier, or kind of a panel truck, only it was stretched out to be like a limousine style. I mean, you know, a big, long, extended panel truck that, you know, it was used as a bus service to Quincy from Kirksville. And we traveled in that as a group, and we actually went up and played at Rockford one time.
Really?
We backed up REO Speedwagon up there, and those guys had met REO Speedwagon when they played in Kirksville, and they got a connection, and when I was with the group, we went up there to play before them, opened for them.
Well, that is, what year was that? Because there's a chance I was at that show.
Waverly Beach is the name of the place it was at. It was like a roller skate by a waterway, I think.
Huh. In the mid-70s?
That would be in mid-70s, yeah.
Man, yeah, I remember, you know, we had REO Speedwagon. We'd come up there a lot. They were from Champaign, Illinois, and the band Styx, if people remember them. They were from the same era and area, and we'd see all those guys often enough. Remember Cheap Trick?
Uh-huh.
Cheap Trick, another band that grew up... that I grew up with, actually, in Rockford, Illinois. Those guys made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, I think. But I used to trade pizzas and ice cream with Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen back in the old days.
Pretty cool.
What? Let's see. Let's I'm looking at the clock here. We got about 20 minutes. So I'm going to have you play another song, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more before we get ready to head out of here, okay?
Okay.
All right, what do you got for us?
This is called Whole Earth Blues.
Whole Earth Blues.
I wrote this after it was back in the 69, I think, and it was when there was the American Black Collegiate Organization up in Kirksville. Mm-hmm. Had a sit-in at one of the buildings in Kirksville, just over, you know, the issues of, don't remember in specific, but I just know that it was a sit-in, and I went and kind of observed it. Saw all my black friends hanging out there and doing that, and so it inspired me just to do this, to write this song, basically just about how people are being socially engineered to oppose one another. And I'm not saying anything in specific, but I just mean in general, it's just a song basically to reach out.
All right. Let's go. Whole, fantastic. Whole, this whole is blues. All right, Bartholomew Bean, KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM.
Take the time just to know one another. Oh, yes, for I fear that all the bad times, yes, have been keeping us apart. Oh, our sisters and all our brothers, we are our own teachers, for we have no others, no, to show us the ways. Love our own peoples, yes, to let us know our hearts. Let us sing glory, so hallelujah. May the love creation flow through you. Well, and maybe by sharing our hearts with each other, well, the world can know love too, yeah. Oh, but my sisters and all my brothers, we do need our help just to help one another. Oh, yeah, we just come to know it, and I hope we can show it. Tap and love in our hearts is to share. Sing glory, hallelujah. Well, may the love creation flow through you. And maybe sharing our hearts with each other, well, the world can know love too.
And all our brothers, we do need our help just to help one another. Oh yes, we just come to know it, and I hope we can show it that the love in our hearts is to share. Oh, that the love in our hearts is to share, and that it is to share.
Thank you, my friend. Fantastic. All right, back in a minute. You're listening to KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM, and this is Open Mic Radio, and we've got Bartholomew Bean in the studio. A couple more songs probably coming up in just a few minutes, but a little bit of business here.
Ride Radio Range from bluff top to river bottom. It's the flora and the fauna of the state of Missouri and everything in between. Only here on your community radio station, KOPN. Noon to 3 p.m. on Sundays. Ride with the Radio Ranger and the Pygmy Pony. That's KOPN Columbia, your listener-sponsored community radio station, 89.5 FM.
That's right. Catch the Radio Ranger every Sunday from noon to 3. Fantastic radio here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. And you're listening to it here on a beautiful Friday morning. It's going to be hot today, but sunny. So for everybody who's going to be getting ready for First Friday, and Art in the Park is coming up this weekend. It's going to be warm out there, but the weather looks like it's going to be really good. And I hope everybody gets involved, or at least a lot of people get out and about and show up for some really great stuff going on in Columbia this weekend. My friend Diana's in the studio with us too. I think Diana, why don't you grab a mic real fast, and we'll talk about Art in the Park for a second here. Bean, you're still on the air too, so you can say hi to Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hello, Bean.
There you are. Diana, what is your for those unfamiliar, Diana hosts a program called Speaking of the Arts, which comes on right immediately after this program. And so she'll be, I'm guessing, maybe talking about Art in the Park this week.
We will be talking about Art in the Park this week. Yes, I've got the one of the organizers, Louise Sava, who's the operations manager for Columbia Art League and Art in the Park. She'll be here for the first half of the show.
Great.
And then we'll have three of the artists who are going to be at Art in the Park this weekend who will be here. So we'll be talking about art.
And,
cool show.
And these are like visual artists or musician type artists? So painters or?
All visual artists.
Visual artists. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's the details of Art in the Park? It's all weekend or?
It's all weekend. Today is setup day. So everyone is already down there volunteering and getting all the artists into the park. And then for the public, it's 10 till 5 tomorrow on Saturday and 10 till 4 on Sunday.
And at Peace Park?
Stevens Lake Park.
Stevens Lake Park.
Mm-hmm. So there is parking over the weekend in the Boone Hospital parking lot. They let us use their parking lot for the weekend, so
awesome.
You can park there, and there's little shuttles that run around and drop people off down at the park. So, yeah, and it does get full. I mean, there's a lot of people that come down. I always recommend people to come early because, you know, there's only one of everything. Mm. Everything is handmade. So if you really want the best choice,
right,
then get down there early on Saturday.
What? How long have they been doing Art in the Park?
Is this is the 60th year.
60?
Yeah. 1959 was year one.
No kidding.
So this is 60.
I had no idea it had been going on that long.
Yeah, and it's always been organized by the Columbia Art League. But it's been in so many locations around the city. Over
yeah. there. Fantastic, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. And we'll be listening when you talk to the gang here in a few minutes. All right.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Bartholomew Bean back on the air with you, my friend. I've made a big note here on my piece of paper, and it says Lee Ruth. I would like you to talk a little bit about your relationship with Lee, how you guys met, and just, I don't know, a little bit about him. He's been an icon here at the station and in Columbia for many, many years. And I know you guys are friends and have a little history.
Yeah, I met Lee in 76. I had taken that airport limousine truck, panel truck, and dedicated to the bicentennial. I wrote the Declaration of Independence on one side, and then the other side I had some questions about corporate ethics. So, but I did it on a trip to take my neighbors down to Florida, down to Melbourne, Florida, and then on the way, when I was in Melbourne, I wrote the Declaration on one side and put bicentennial bus on the top of it, and then when I went to Atlanta to visit another friend on the way back, I wrote all the questions about corporate morals, ethics, and agendas.
Gosh. So, that's an. I hope you probably had to write really small.
It was a big bus, but and nobody could read it. I mean, it was just written on there. I thought, you know, the hippie buses and all the colors and all that were going on. But I was more interested in getting some information across. So. There wasn't any internet, so what else could I do?
That's right. Yeah. So how'd you come across Lee?
So on the way back, I went down to Stevens Farm. I went to Atlanta. I went to Stevens Farm in Tennessee, and a lot of people there were needing a ride back toward St. Louis and Columbia. So I had like 14 people in my empty personnel carrier coming back, and so went to St. Louis, came into Columbia, and I had played at the Shea one other time, and I went there and I was visiting with them about the possibility of maybe playing some music there. Mm-hmm. And I walked, but I knew KOPN had just kind of had just like a couple years in the works. Mm-hmm. And I asked, well, I saw a guy in a wheelchair that had flames on the side of it. You know, had like those cars on flames on the cars.
Right, right.
Well, he had his wheelchair, but he had flames painted on it. So I was talking to him about that, and he says, awesome. "Well, I do a show on KOPN too." And so I said, "Well, are there any music shows that have people come on and play, like live music?" And he says, "Yeah, you should get a hold of Lee Ruth."
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
That's what I did. I went up to.
I'll be darned.
Up to the station, came up here to the station and met someone I knew from Kirksville, Danny Novager. He was hanging out here.
Uh-huh.
And then asked around about Lee, and they gave me a phone number, and I called him and visited with him. And
next thing you know,
he had me come on probably about that same time period. I forget, but yeah, it was about the same time period when I was in town right then. It was spring. You know, May, June of 1976.
Hmm, interesting. Well, KLPN's kind of still like that. Yeah, it's a place you never know who you're going to run into, and there's a lot of connections made up here, and it's kind of a nexus of a whole bunch of intersections of different types of people, styles of people, interests, and just diverse group that kind of comes and goes from in and out of this place.
It is.
I'm flashing back to maybe 2007 or 2006 when you and I were first getting to know one another, and I know you had I had you on my earlier program a couple times, and we played music and talked about stuff, and this has been a great reminiscence of that, and I really appreciate you coming down and chatting for a little bit.
I think it's great you're back on the air.
I'm enjoying it. I appreciate it, Bart. You want to play one more for us?
Yeah, I will do that. I'll song I've done before, but I'll do it. People ask for this song. It's called In the Land of the Giant Midgets.
In the Land of the Giant Midgets. All right, you're listening to it here on Open Mic Radio, KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM. This is Bartholomew Bean.
I dreamed I was in the land of the giant midgets, where one could live so brave and free, and prove to all the world, yes, and all those boys and girls, yes, that a giant midget was the only way to be. They always fought so hard for flag and country. Their holy place of God they would protect. So they bombed and burned and killed, yes, till the enemy had their fill, yes, just to show giant bitches only wanted to be their friends. I dreamed I was in the land of the giant midgets, where the government did play a funny joke. They told all the people there, yes, that what they do was fair, yes. Then they let the wealthy steal from the common folk. If you ever feel you dream of giant midgets, like think you'll find they're easy to see. They appear so grand and tall, yes, because they own and control it all, yes. But inside where it matters, they seem so very small. Well, I wish I did not dream of giant midgets. My head it aches, I lose my appetite. But most of the people on the street, yes, think that they are so neat, yes. Sometimes I fear our friends are short of sight. Well, the giant midgets, the giant midgets aren't very loose, but they sure are rigid. The giant midgets, the giant midgets aren't very warm, but they sure are frigid. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Giant midgets, the giant midgets count all the money and 12 50 digits. The giant midgets, the giant midgets destroy the earth, never do fix it. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, the giant midgets, the giant midgets aren't very loose, but they sure are rigid. The giant midgets, the giant midgets aren't very warm, but they sure are frigid. The giant midgets, the giant midgets count all the money in 12 figure digits. The giant midgets, the giant midgets destroy the earth, never to fix it. Oh yes. Uh-huh. Oh my. Too bad. And in this last scene, we see the giant midgets walking hand in hand off into the sunset. Goodbye! Don't come back. Whoops, Warren sort of slipped and fell there, but he'll make it okay. Why, heck, he could live in a cardboard box, too.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Bartholomew Bean, everybody, and Bean, once again, I appreciate you coming down.
My pleasure, Mike.
All right. Take care. Have a great weekend. Maybe I'll see you out later tonight, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, I'm going to close out here, and we're going to put a little piece of music on as we transition over to Speaking of the Arts. Trevor's in the house. Diana is in the studio getting ready for her guests. And so I'm going to say goodbye. This is one last song called The Ballad of John and Susie Doe. And you're listening to it on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. This has been Open Mic Radio.
Now the child about my grandpa's beating, telling me stories about the ship. see. He bounced me up, he turned me round, he tipped me over, he tumbled me down, and I'm rocking and rolling, bebopping, singing and a slow start hopping, rocking all day long. Well, there was this hill down by the creek, and all that hill was long and steep. Rocks and stones scattered on the ground. Take our steps, go sliding on down, and we'll be rocking. Rocking and rolling, bebopping, singing and a slow start hopping, rocking all day long. Rockin' and rollin', bebopping, singin' and slowin' down, hoppin', rockin' all day long. Rocking all life long.